Savior, visit our plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious name. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help us come from thee. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help us come from thee. Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high. Let's for want of thine assistance, every plant should droop and die. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee.
Draw your attention this morning to the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter. And I'm going to start reading with verse 6 and read down through verse 9. The word of the Lord says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." As my mind is brought to these verses of Scripture this morning, I am convinced that there's things that if the Lord would bless me to say them this morning, or things that have been said before, probably by me. Whenever you're brought to a certain portion of Scripture, I always try to not only find the proper application for the church of God and how the child of God can apply it to their lives. I'm brought many times to find application to myself in the things that the Lord bears upon me to bring to the attention to the flock of God here at Macedonia Church. It's very possible today that the things that are on my mind, the very one saying them may be the one that it's directed to. But I pray that the Lord would add His blessings upon the verses that I've read to you here, that I believe that the Apostle Paul lays out by the inspiration of God a recipe for peace in our lives. A recipe for peace in our lives. I remember when Sister Allison and I were engaged to be married. One of the customs in the community that we grew up in was that the people of the community that you had grown close to throughout your life would host get-togethers and would have cookouts and would give gifts unto the husband and wife to be. And we were blessed beyond measure to see the love shown forth to the two of us by the gifts of many in that community. And I remember one of the things that that my mother gave us was a cookbook. It was a family cookbook. It was not a bought one that you purchase at a store. It was one that was a homemade notebook that had the clear binders in it that you could slide paper down in that contained family recipes. There's a lot of history in that book. My grandmother's barbecue sauce is in that book that she found by happenstance in an Atlanta Journal-Constitution that posted old recipes that had been sent in from years ago. She saw her grandmother's, who lived in Atlanta's name on it, and saw her grandmother's recipe in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And so she started making it for our family. And it's something that we enjoyed growing up. And that's in that book. There's all kind of recipes in that book. You know, one of the things that, and I did a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, I did some cooking whenever we were first married. I don't do hardly any anymore. But I remember whenever I would use it, I'd add to or take from according to my taste. And I still do it not only out of that book, but out of another recipe book. If I want a little bit more and I don't use a measuring spoon when I shake, I eyeball. I did the same thing with fertilizer on a tomato. Now I eyeball the 2 tablespoons that's required per gallon. I got a tomato that I've almost burned up because I put too much on there. But you know, it's just an eyeball thing. You know, you kind of add to or you take from according to your own preference. Well, you know, and it used to, whenever I tell my grandma I did that with some of her recipes, it made her so mad because she was one that she would shave off the top of the measuring spoon to make sure that you got just exactly what it was required in that recipe. You know, there's things about a cookbook and there's things in our in those sort of walks of life that if you want to add to or you want to take from, you can do it according to your own taste. You can do that. But whenever it comes to the words of the Lord, whenever He's issued a recipe, whenever He's issued a way in order to have something in your life, if you add to or you take from that, you're not going to get what the author of the book intended whenever He gave you that recipe. In these 4 verses that I've read to you, 6, 7, 8, and 9 this morning, He gives us something that will bring peace to you and I. Twice in these verses, He mentions about the peace that that is bestowed upon us from the Lord. He says in the beginning of verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." So what is He doing? He's drawing our attention to the subject of peace. At the end of verse 9, "And the God of peace shall be with you." What is it that you and I need to have in our lives so that we can have the God of peace with us and have peace with our God? You know, the Scripture says that indeed God is a God of peace. In the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, the Scripture says, "And the God of peace sanctify you wholly." He describes God as a God of peace. You know, the one that loves to to try to bring up stumbling blocks to the child of God of the accuracy of Scripture, we'll be quick to take you to Matthew chapter 10 and Mark chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and He said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." You know, whenever you see these verses about how God, how it's God's will for you to have peace, they're going to be quick to mention about the places where the Lord discusses about how He came to bring a sword and not peace. So is He the God of peace or is He a God of a sword? Well, consider the context. In Matthew chapter 10 and in Mark chapter 10, where the Scripture says that He came not to bring peace but a sword, what He was discussing is that in our own homes we'll have adversaries because of the sake of the truth. And whenever it comes to the truth, God is not a God of compromise and peace. He desires truth and He desires to be upheld in such a way. That's the context of that. You ever heard somebody tell you that, you know, I'm not going to stand for what I believe that this what I believe is right because it's just going to cause a fuss with my loved one. It's going to cause a fuss here. I'm going to compromise a little bit. Well, that's exactly the opposite of what the Lord intends for you to do, because He came not to bring peace, but a sword. In other words, there's some things that are worth standing for. But whenever it comes to the walk with the Lord in our life, He's told us here about what we should do to have peace with Him. I'd rather have peace with my God than I would peace with people in this world, because my Lord is greater than this world. He's more important than this world to me. And the Scripture says the first thing that we should do if we desire peace with our God, the first thing is be careful for nothing. That's the first four words that I read to you from verse 6. Be careful for nothing. You know, every time I talk to my daddy, the main theme of the conversation is to be careful about near about everything. You know, he gave me a chainsaw for Father's Day. So you can imagine the talk I got whenever that gift was given. And how be careful for this and be careful for that. You know, and he's not disobeying this word by telling me to make sure I'm careful. He's telling me to be vigilant, to be mindful of the dangers. Whenever the Scripture says here to be careful for nothing, it means don't be full of care and worry about things that you cannot control. There's some things in this life that you and I do not have control over. You and I do not have any mandates, any power to overcome. And there's some things that you can worry yourself to death about because you don't have control over them. You can't change it, and you won't turn it over to the one that can. And the Scripture says to be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care and worry about things that you can't control. You remember when Mary and Martha... The Scripture says that they hosted the Lord in their house. It's recorded in Luke chapter 12. The Scripture says that the Lord looked at Martha, who was cumbered about with much serving, and Mary was just seated at the feet of the Lord. The Scripture says that He looked at Martha, the one that was busy the whole time, the one that was upset that the Lord did not rebuke her sister because her sister wouldn't help her serve the tables of the house that day. The Scriptures said that the Lord looked at her and said, "Thou art troubled and careful for many things." In other words, she's full of care, full of worry about everything that's going on, and she's lost track of the fact that the Lord of glory was in her home. I tell you, you know, there was some things that were better to be done that day. She could have been seated at the feet of the Lord just like her sister was, to be taught the precious truths that the Lord taught whenever He was here, that you and I have in this Word. But instead, she was full of worry about things that she couldn't change, about cumbered about with many things. And that's what the Lord has said here, that if you want to enjoy peace with your God, don't be careful and full of care about things that you can't control. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you do a Greek study on that word careful, one of the words that you'll find that is the same root word is the word thought. Is the word thought as it's used in Matthew chapter 6. If you start with verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, He immediately says, "I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking unto those that had climbed the mountain with Him on the Sermon on the Mount. And He says in verse 25, "I say unto you, take no thought for your life." In other words, there's some things in our life that for us to worry about is going to bring distress when there shouldn't be distress there. He says, take no thought for your life, which you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Now you see how you could take that to the extreme and just say, you know, I'm not going to clothe myself because the scriptures tell me to take no thought for it. So I ain't worried about it. If I put on clothes before I go out of the house, good. If I don't, good. You know, there's a way that you can misconstrue scripture, take it to the extreme. That's not at all what he's telling them. What he's telling them is to not be burdened about and worried about the providential care of yourself, because the Lord is going to provide for those that follow Him. He's given us that promise. He's given us the promise of those that would follow Him would be granted things. He would be granted what the providential care that we need to live here in this world. He knows you need raiment. He knows you need food. He knows you need those certain sustenances of life, and He gives them unto those that follow Him. And He says, don't worry about it. Don't become full of care about these things. Five times He says here in these verses of Scripture to take no thought. Look down in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to His stature? In other words here, you know, what He's basically saying is, can you worry yourself into a higher, into being taller? You know, a lot of people like to make a big deal about their height. You know, I'm not as tall as a lot of folks. And I remember as I came up through school, I was the same size I am now when I was 12 years old. I mean, they thought, lo and behold, this kid's going to be a giant. And it just stopped. Same size shoes, same height, same everything. It just capped off. I didn't grow another inch. I went from running with the offensive linemen at football and when I was in the eighth grade to going over there with the little guys whenever I got up to high school, because everybody else just kept going. They just passed by me. And I caught the wind every once in a while of them picking on me because they were taller than me. But you know what? I couldn't change that. But there were some things that I could change. I could change how fast I was. I could change how strong I was, and I tried to change what I could. I couldn't become overcome with care about something that I couldn't control. And that's what the Lord is reminding us here about His providential care of us. It's just the same as our very high. We can't do anything to change it. So why would we worry and be consumed with it? He says in the next verse, and why take thought, third one, for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And in other words, they don't produce their beauty. The Lord bestows it upon them, and He dresses that field with the beauty of a lily flower. How beautiful are those fields? And that is because the adorning hand of the Lord is upon them. So He tells them not to worry about these things. Be careful for nothing is what Paul was telling the church at Thessalonica. If you want peace, don't be full of care about the things that the Lord controls. It says down in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 34, therefore take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Five times he tells them the same thing that the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians Philippians chapter 4. Tells us the same, be careful for nothing. Five times here he says, take no thought. Don't be full of worry about the things that the Lord knows that you're staying in need of, that He's going to give you for serving Him. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that sacrifice in certain areas of their life just cannot be made because of the things that they stand in need of to live. Well, I tell you, child of God, any sacrifice that you make for the purpose of your serving God will be observed by the same God in which you're serving, and He'll provide for that very need that you feel like you're going to go without in order to serve Him. You know, Jesus knew full well whenever He spoke these words unto these Jews that were up there on that mount with Him, what these folks were about to sacrifice. You know, our service to the Lord requires very minuscule sacrifice a lot of times. But you know, these Jews, they were sacrificing their very estates, if you will, their very status in society on a level that you and I cannot even fathom. Their mamas and daddies, because of their hatred for Jesus Christ and for who He said He was, brought those ones that followed Jesus Christ. It brought them to the point where they were no longer welcome in their homes in which they were raised in. They were no longer welcome in the communities because of the one that they were following. And the Lord said, they may do you this way, but I know what you need. Don't worry about the things that I can provide you with. I know you need them, and I'll give them to you. Whenever the Lord sent Elijah up to be fed by water from a brook and by the ravens that would bring bread unto him, he knew what Elijah needed. Whenever he sent him to the widow's house, he knew that Elijah needed to be taken care of. He knew what that widow needed. Our God is a God of providence, and he gave it to Elijah. He gave it to the disciples that he spoke to here, and he'll give it to each and every one of his children that desire and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, there's a requirement in order to be given these things. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, does that mean that any and everybody's just provided for? I'll tell you, that's not the context of the verse. That's not the context of the lesson. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then I'll make sure that you're provided for. If you sit on the chair of do nothing in your service to the Lord and say, he's going to give it to me anyway, don't be surprised whenever it's not granted to you, because that's not what his promise said. He said, seek him first. Put him first. Put my kingdom first. My glory first. And my people first. You do these things, and I'll make sure that you've got food on your table and that you're provided for. I tell you, we serve a mighty God. And he says the first thing that we ought to do if we're going to have peace with him is to not be full of worry, because the opposite of peace is worry and distress. Now, that's the first one. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, the second thing that the scriptures tell us that we should do if we're to have peace with our God is the things that we cannot, is to not worry about the things that we cannot control. And also take those things that we cannot control and turn them over to the one that does have control over them. It says in the second half of verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't worry about the things you can't control. Talk to the one that can control them, and he'll give you the peace. He'll give you peace and comfort and understanding about how he's going to control them. You know, a lot of people look at these things and say, well, Brother Will, you know, I'm just so consumed with worry and with fear about this or that. And I feel like I'm not doing everything that I should do. Well, you know, one of the proper ways to understanding peace with God is peace with God does not mean that you do nothing in the instances where you can do something. There are some things that bring us peace, and we'll get to that. That's the last part of the recipe, by the way. It's in the last verse that I read to you. But if I preach it in this one, then guess what? You can change the order that you administer the same, the proper portions of the recipe. You can change the order that you put them in the bowl. You just can't change what goes into the bowl. The first thing is be careful for nothing. The next thing is to pray unto the Lord about the things that you can't control. You know, the things that you can control, my encouragement to you would be to do those things that you can control, and the things you can't, turn them over to the one that can do something about it. There's some things in our life that we can control. There's some environments that we can place ourselves in that'll dictate just how much peace you have with the Lord. If you place yourself in ungodly environments, if you place yourself in the environment of where our Lord would not be present, then you have the option. And I would love to hear an example of those that don't have an option. If you have an option to place yourself in the presence of where the Lord in the environment where the Lord is present, then guess what? I would tell you to exercise to the fullest extent that which you have control over. That is to place yourself in the midst of a godly environment. You know, I'll tell you, I said whenever I started this morning that I'm probably preaching to myself as much as anybody else. You know, there's a situation in my life, and because it's come to my thought while I'm before you this morning, I'm going to tell you about it. And I'm going to ask that you pray with me and for me in the midst of it. You know, one of the things that there's a few people here that are probably aware of that the Lord has blessed me and my family to come to the point of is whenever the Lord bless us to come to this part of the country and to pastor, you dear people, because of a poor decision by the head of our house me. In 2006, my family and I purchased a residence over in Gwinnett County against the will of God. And a lot of people say, you can't act against the will of God. I'm living proof that you can. Because the Lord had spoken to Brother Will and told him what he had desired and what his will for him was. And Brother Will thought that he had a better idea and that he had a better time frame and that he could come up with it and that his way was a little bit better. And so I went and I did it my way. And I bought the fare thereof, just as Jonas did whenever he fled down to Joppa and boarded a ship. I bought the fare thereof. But the Lord has blessed us from the time that we've come over here to have somebody live in that house. And now she desires to buy that house. And for the last several months, we were supposed to close on it on May the 10th. Guess what? Not everything was coming up. You know, they went from the mortgage industry went from one ditch to the other. They went from not looking at a thing before they let somebody sign a note and say they'll pay for it, to now they'll comb all the way down to your sock drawer to make sure you don't have anything in your closet anymore that's going to say that you can't pay a bill anymore. They went from one extreme to the other. And she's jumped through hoops. And I feel like me and my family, we've jumped through them with everything that they've desired for her to try to bring to their attention so that she can have it. She wants it. We don't want it. And we're not trying to walk away from there with anything but handing over a set of keys and just saying, it's yours, take it. I want to get off the ship. I want to be out of the whale's belly. I want to be done and rid with that. And I can't tell you the number of nights in the midst of the last 7 years that there's been times when I've woke up. And you say, the scripture says, be careful for nothing, Brother Will. I want to tell you, there's some remembrances that the Lord brings to my mind to remind me of whenever you test the will of God and what He desires in your life. And I want to tell you, whenever that mortgage industry crashed, there was a lot of sleepless nights with this old boy that I was thinking of how underwater that place was over there. But the Lord has blessed it to come up. The Lord has blessed it to change. And all I want to do is just walk away from it. And over the last several weeks, they've moved it from the 10th. They moved it to the 31st. Supposed to be this Wednesday. And I don't see how in the world it's going to be. But over in the midst of it, I know that there's nothing else I can do. There's not another penny I can give. There's not anything else I can do that's required. I've had to just turn it over to God and say, Lord, please let this thing come to pass so that me and my family can move on from a mistake that I pray God that my children or nobody else ever has to live through of doing those things and rebelling against their God. But I tell you, child of grace, today I can't do anything else to control it. The only thing I can do is turn it over to the one that can. And if it be His will, I pray that He would bring it to a close. You know, there's things in our life that I had control over a certain portion of it. And every bit that I had control over, I've given it every bit. I've given it all up just to get rid of it. But there's a lot of things in this that I don't have control over. I can't provide her tax documents to the bank. I can't do that. I can't do this and that. I can't go to that bank and stand on the table. If I found out where it was, I may try and stand up on the table and beg them and say, please, this girl has lived there for 7 years. She's paid her rent every month for the last 7 years. And she's going to be paying you less than what she was having to pay in that. She's paid it every month. She can do it. She can meet the requirements thereof. Let her own this is what I want to tell her. But you know, I can't. I don't have any control over that. I've got to turn it over to the one that does. Be careful for nothing. And of the things you can't control, turn them over to the Lord through prayer and talk to Him. You know that a lot of troubles that we have in this life and a lot of disagreements that we have in our homes is due to poor communication. It's due to poor communication. You know, in my office, when we have a breakdown of flow, it's due to poor communications a lot of times. Somebody has misstated something, or somebody has just not spoken at all about something that they observed that needed to be said. You know, something needed to be said about a certain situation. You know, we have an office renovation, as I've spoken about here before. Thankfully, we're on the other side of that now. And you know, as we came up out of it, there were some things that didn't get done this way or that way. And when we got over there and we found out they didn't work, and we found out that folks knew before we did them a certain way that it wouldn't work a certain way, and we asked, we said, well, you know, why did it get done this way? Well, that's just the way. Well, did you speak up and say that it needed to be done another way before we did it this way? No, but I just kind of thought you knew. Well, how are we going to know if you don't speak up? And I'm not telling you that the Lord doesn't know, but I'm telling you that the Lord desires that communication on our for our peace, for us to have peace with the Lord, and for us to know that we've laid it all on His feet. I tell you, it feels good whenever you're in distress just to fall to your knees and just talk with the Lord and to just tell Him. You know, you can gather whenever somebody prays, whether or not they're talking or whether or not it's a vain repetition. I tell you now, the best way to communicate with God is to just talk with the Lord and to just lay it all on His feet. And I say that by the things that the Scriptures have written here before us this morning. And that is that we would not be full of worry about the things that we can't control, and that we would turn them over to the Lord so that we can have peace about them. Because He is able. There's not a thing that you need that our Lord is not able to fulfill. I can't tell you by the authority of Scripture that there's not a thing that you think you need that He's gonna give you all that you think you need. I can't tell you that. I can't give you that promise. But I can tell you that if you do need it, our God is able to give it to you. So turn it over to Him. The next thing that the Scripture tells us in order to have peace with God is, and I've already made mention of this, but I'm about to go into greater detail with it, is that we would keep our hearts and minds in a spiritual manner. If we're going to have peace with the Lord, it's going to come through being careful for nothing and in prayer. And the next is to keep our hearts and minds in a spiritual environment. He says at the end of verse 7, let me read the whole verse to you. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How? He tells us in the next verse. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, now listen, whatsoever things. He's about to list several things here in this verse. And he says at the end of the verse, think on these things. So what are the things of the context? It's the things contained in the verse. If you think that you can just apply all things and these things just to anything, you're going to make a mistake here. You're going to make a mistake in many places in the Word of God. Whenever you see things listed in the Word of God, find in the surrounding verses what things are under context. What things are in the context here? He says that there's some things that you and I can do that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The first thing he says do is think on things that are true. It's to think on things that are true. I can't give you a better something to think about that's true than what we're reading from this morning. One of the best things that you can read, or one of the best things you can do to keep your mind on things that are true, is to keep your mind on the Word of God. Because it is without a doubt full of truth. Jesus Christ said in His prayer in John chapter 17, to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book is all true. Every bit of it is true. And if you want to think on something that's true, think on the Word of God. It's all true. You know, there's not a... You can't say that about it. Even the most honest newspaper around, the most honest publication that you can find, you can pick up, and you cannot without a doubt say that the things contained in that are true. It doesn't matter what the circulation is. It doesn't matter how many references are quoted in a certain article. You cannot without a doubt say that all of it is true. But I can tell you this. You can by the promise of a mighty God. Of a promise of a God that was able to preserve His Word. He's given us the truth in this Word. And that's what we can focus on. You know, the... Aren't you thankful this morning that I don't stand up here to tell you about how there's parts of it that are true, but there's parts of it that are true, but you know, I don't really know what the Holy Ghost was thinking whenever He gave these verses of Scripture, because I just don't think they're right. How comforting would that be to the child of God? But praise be to the Lord that He has left us and preserved us a Word of truth, and that's what we have. And if we would think on these things, think on this. You know, a lot of people love to think on this commentary or that commentary. And whenever you read a commentary, I thank the Lord for them. There's good references in them. But it's not the Word of God. It's not that God has preserved. It's a man's interpretation of what God has given. But whenever we read the Scriptures, what we have is what God has said that He'll keep for us. He says that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. These are the things that He says to think on. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honest. And whenever it says honest, that means respectable, honorable. Think on those things as opposed to things that are dishonest. You know, people that are constantly consumed with dishonesty, you know what they create is within themselves, they create a personality of distrust. And they create a sense of anger about themselves, about everything. They don't trust anything. Everything is has got a sense of error to it, and they create a distress within themselves. Well, whenever we think on things that are respectable and think on things that are honest, what we're doing is thinking on things that are godly and thinking on things that are spiritual. And whenever we can consume our minds with that, then the more peace that we'll have with the Lord. You know, a fatalist will tell you, you know, you're going to have this magnitude of peace no matter what you do. But a faithful Bible reader will tell you that the Lord has said that there's some things that you can do. Remember, I said that there's some things that you can't control and there's some things that you can. What goes through your mind is what you can control. It won't ever be all pure. It won't ever be all holy. But the more you consume your minds with these things that He says to think on, the holier and the purer your thoughts are going to be, as opposed to the unrighteous and unholy thoughts that we could have if we focus on the wrong things. He says, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever that means righteous, whatsoever things are pure, which is chaste and clean. You know, you know, there's a lot of blessings that come with our modern technology in these phones. You know, there's no doubt about it. Traveling's easier. It is. You can find what you want to eat. You know, we went yesterday to the beach at Carter's Lake. Well, we'll reserve comment about that till another time. But you know, if you go there very often, you won't be meeting these things that are listed here about things to keep your mind on. I can promise you that. It was that kind of environment up there, if you will. But nevertheless, the plan was to leave there and to stop at a pizza place. It's been 3 years since we ate there in Fairmount. And we had already convinced the whole car that we were going to get to eat pizza on the way home. Well, thankfully, we were going to call ahead so they'd have it ready. We looked it up, and it's closed. And guess what? There's nothing between there and the Martin residence for us to eat. Can you imagine if we'd have pulled up there and it'd been closed and us had to go home without... it's not that we'd have put them to bed without feeding them, but you know, once you've told them that you get to go out to eat, you know, there's kind of a standard in their minds that if you don't meet, you're in for a rough night. Well, guess what? Calls of a smartphone, we found out it was permanently closed. That's what it said on it, permanently closed. There's a lot of good things about it. But one of the downsides to it is that you can pull up the nastiest filth that you can imagine at the touch of a button right there in front of you. You know, people used to have to wade and at least be willing to park their car and at least be willing to be seen by the public by parking their car in front of a nasty place that's advertising that they sell such filth. And if they wanted to be so bold, they at least had to park their car in front of it and let the community know just how nasty they are. Well, now that's not the case. You can pull it up, you can look at it, and you can indulge your mind in all the filth that you want. And if you don't think that will not influence the peace that you have with God, you're confused. The peace that you have with God comes with pure things. It comes with those things that are chaste and clean. And that's what the Lord here is saying. If you want to have peace with God, think on these things, not on the filth of this world. You know, the reason why I commented about the place where we went, about not being the... I mean, you know, from the attire that people think is acceptable these days, it is unreal that mamas and daddies would let their children wear such things out in public. It is unreal that people don't have any more respect Did I say that the definition of honest is respectable and honorable? It's the exact opposite in what you see people attire themselves in today. And you know, you say, well, does the Scripture teach us about attire? You better believe it does. The book of Proverbs tells us about that one that was on the corner that had the attire of what? The attire of an harlot is what the Scripture says that she had on. It's got a lot to say about what we wear and about the way in which we clothe ourselves with garment and with raiment. Whatsoever things are lovely, speak on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. You know, I tell you, one of the things that the Scripture tells us is one of the is something that's lovely. Whenever you go and you read the Song of Solomon, one of the things that you'll see about the king's thought towards his bride is that she was lovely. You know, one of the more lovely things that we have in this world is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how love, think about how it meets the definition of all these things that the Scripture tells us to think on. You know, talk about something that's good to think about. Is think about the Lord's blessing upon you to be in a place that's honest, just, pure, and lovely as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He would bless you as His appearance is towards her. You know, how the description of the bride in the Song of Solomon, whenever you see what the king, how much the king loves that bride. You know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, we're teaching people too much about loving the church as opposed to loving the Lord. If you have to distinguish between those two things so much, your church does not have the Lord in it near as much as it should. If you're having to differentiate between that much to the point where you can't show someone the beauty of the Lord's bride and also rejoice in the fellowship that you have with the Lord in that bride, then you don't have the Lord in there as much as you should. A lovely place is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, one of the things that we should do is think on the loveliness and the purity that she's been given here in this world. You know, if you think for a second of how some are so negative about her, and so downtrodden about the bride of Christ. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, you know, that if that was any of our brides that someone was speaking so negatively about, it would anger us. And the same thing would be true. The same thing is true of the Lord whenever they speak negatively about His bride, and that being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lovely, which is acceptable and pleasing. And the last thing that he says is whatsoever things are of a good report. That is a positive report. There's a lot of negativity in this world. And there's a lot of negativity that could be reported. You know, we were sitting there in the waiting room there the other day. I know with Brother Bruce and Sister Patty, and the news was on. And the news that came on there was that a cop had gone to the wrong house and he shot. And ended up, the man ended up dying about a day and a half later. He shot the residents of that house. He went to the wrong house. Somebody had called a domestic abuse call and said that he had heard a fight within the home. And the cops went to the wrong home. And that owner didn't know that it was a cop there. So he, of course, had a weapon. And he was killed. I tell you, that's bad news, is it not? You know, you say, Brother Wilbur, it says, think on these things, and here you brought it to our attention. I'm giving you an example of things. Can you imagine of just consuming your mind with those sort of things as opposed to speaking on things that are positive? You know, there's a lot of things to talk about that are positive. If all we think about is the negative as opposed to the positive, then we're going to get ourselves in a fix, and we're going to be where we're not, where we're in distress, as opposed to being in peace with God. You know, this church is blessed abundantly to have a lot of positive things to talk about. You have a lot of positive. You have a positive outlook on the future. You know, whenever you go to places and there's not a lot of children there, it doesn't. You know, it does not. By the way, the church is not defined by the age group of the people in there. And I can give you plenty of examples of how the age in a certain place has gotten very old, and that the Lord has brought in a family, and then here you go. It takes off from there. The church is defined by they that worship in spirit and in truth, is what the Scripture tells us. But whenever you have a lot of young people in a congregation, what you have is something to be positive about. You know, a lot of those of you that well, I just put myself out of the category, but you know, those that are getting on up in age, guess what? You've got something positive that you have a hope that is going to be left behind after you leave and after you're in glory. When you're in glory, you won't have to worry about what's going on down here anymore. But you know, while you're here, has a positive outlook, and there's things to speak on that is a good report, that a positive report that the Lord is blessing us with. He says that if we would keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus by doing these things, we'll have peace with God. So we have to not be full of care, be careful for nothing, talk to the Lord through prayer, and also keep your minds and your hearts pure by thinking on these things that he's listed here. The last one, if we're going to have peace with God, he says in verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. If you're going to have peace with the Lord, you can know all this stuff all you want to, but if you don't do it, it'll do you no good. The last thing he says is do it. You know, James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, to not be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. That means do these things. The Apostle Paul here, remember whenever he told the ministers, he told Titus, he says, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, that shows the lineage of the church must go back to the things in which Jesus taught and he gave unto the apostles, and they constituted churches and they built churches. The Lord built them upon upon the truth that he gave them. It must go all the way back to that time, because he says, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. You can't come up with anything new and claim that you were the original, because the Apostle Paul says the same. He says the same things here to you and I about what we should do if we're going to have peace with God. He says the things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, is what Paul is saying. You know, people will say, well, does that mean it was built upon Paul or built upon Jesus? It was built upon the Apostle Paul's, it was built upon Jesus' revelation to the Apostle Paul, and what he did in their presence is what he's telling them to do. Do these things. You know, was Jesus the best example, I believe, that's given to us in Scripture, is given to us whenever the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of his apostles, because he told them that happy are ye if you just do these things as opposed to just hear it. You know, I believe that the Lord's will for his children is to have peace. See, he's never promised us that all times will be peaceful. That's never he hasn't promised the child of God. As a matter of fact, he's promised the opposite. You know, we had a day in our office the other day that just seemed like it seemed like there was everything that we tried to do, there was a direct connection upstairs to our bosses of people tattletaling on us trying to do what those same very people hired us to do. And, you know, one of the guys walked by my office and it was just that kind of day. I'm telling you, there was three or four calls that went up. And after the calls, there were visits that came down. So, you know, there's a lot of calls that go up that we don't ever know about. But when they come back down, that means that, you know, there's got to have a conversation. And they said, what does the Bible say about that? One of the guys walked by and said, I know the Bible's got to say something about these types of days. And I said, I'll tell you what it says, that in this life you shall have tribulation. But I said, but the rest of the verse says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have the peace to overcome the things that we face here in this world. And he's given us the way that we can have them. May the Lord bless us to take this recipe and do it and apply these things to our lives so that we can have peace with the God of all glory, with the God of heaven above. And I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's a fair sight 10,000 to my soul. But a valley of the valley. He's the fairest of 2,000 to my soul.